Join me, please, in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Forty-6 years ago this month, in a small church building in a small town in Kentucky, in the presence of strangers, pleasant, congenial strangers, but strangers nonetheless, I was baptized into Christ. And within just a few days of this week, I was back here and I for the first time partook of the Lord's Supper with the saints assembled as the Klein Wood Church of Christ. I like to think back and remember people who have been with us before and who participated with us in this occasion, in this part of our service. I also like to think ahead. I like to picture, I like to imagine that some babes in arms here right now with us, one day will take their turn and join in the participation. Children yet born will one day rise up to be children of the Lord. And they too will take their turn and will join in this supper of the Lord, in this communion of the saints. However, as rich as memory and imagination can be, and however important the place they hold in our thinking about this occasion, it is this moment that is first in our mind, and it is the simple fact that we are doing this together. In fact, the reason I choose the image I have, partly it's because I only have two or three, so I cycle back and forth, but trying to bestow some weight on it, there's an emphasis in this wordless representation so far. If you think about it for just a minute, you see, well, maybe it's an emphasis, they're using trays a lot like ours. But more importantly, there's an emphasis here on people sitting together, passing a tray along, handing off from one to another. It is the experience of doing this together that matters. And that's really embedded in two or three words we're going to talk about in just a minute. But let's go ahead and go now to chapter 20 of Acts. We're just going to look at part of a verse. And what we find there is that Paul is in his journey, is on his way back to Jerusalem, and he's left Macedonia from that city named for the father of Alexander the Great. He's left Philippi, and now he's come to Troas, and he stays there 7 days. It's actually in some ways a reverse. It was from Troas that Paul received his Macedonian call to go across the Aegean to Macedonia and teach there as well. Now he's on his way back, and join me in verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread. That's what I want us to think about this morning. I want to push some things here. Notice, this is in the English Standard Version. You may, when people had assembled to break bread in one other translation, or come together to break bread. But I suggest to you that in the emphasis that I'm seeking, in the emphasis that I'm intending this morning, that we have three words in this set that suggest the importance of this being something that we do. Now, obviously, it's individual. We each have to individually manage transferring the little cup. That's getting more difficult for me all the time. We do that individually. And so it's easy to retreat into a private sense that this is what this is about. It is me sipping for Jesus. And it is that. It is an individual act, no doubt. And yet, notice the language here. We did this. The writer here, it seems like Luke placing himself in the scene here. We did this. And not only this, we had gathered. We had come together to do this. In fact, in this version, we have three words. We and gathered and together. All three working an emphasis on a company assembled. Now, you know the very word for church grows out of this, right? Some of you want to look back to the last word, probably in most translations at least, the last word of chapter 19 of Acts is the word assembly. Same word the church is in the New Testament, yet translated differently. And so once again, there's a challenge for us to remember how a word can have plural meanings, and we don't want to get stuck on one that is right. We want to be alert to this. So the word assembly can mean us together, gathered. You could argue that the church only exists as the people gathered. It is the assembly of God's people. And what do they assemble for? They assemble to break bread. And what does that mean? Well, that can have two meanings. And so we want to be careful about that as well. We know in the book of Acts, early in chapter 2, I believe, you find that breaking of bread is used in two different ways. It's used to talk about kind of normal meals. And yet, it's used to talk about a special meal. How do you tell the difference? Well, for these words, it's context would tell you about ecclesia being assembly or the assembly of God's people, and the breaking of bread, a meal in a house, or this special meal. And here in the context, on the first day of the week, we gather. So their intentional gathering for this occasion gives us some sense of what's happening in this moment. This is not a mere breaking of the bread. It is a breaking of the bread. It is that occasion. Let me give you one other word that reminds us of this. In 1 Corinthians 11, where as often as you do this, we're told, you proclaim his death until he comes. As often as you do this. We know this. In English, we have to be careful because you can be singular or plural. Now, that might be in another language, Spanish, for example. We might know that singular and plural are noted by a word, a change in the word. But here in English, we don't have that, so we've got to be alert to what's being meant. But here again, if we're not careful, we can retreat into the singular you. We can retreat into this private enterprise, this private transaction. And yet, it seems like this occasion, more than any of the church, we are gathered for the purpose of breaking bread. We are doing this together this morning. I don't expect you all to turn around and look. I have the advantage, I get to see where everybody's sitting, but we know where people sit for the most part, although I have noticed there have been some converts who have moved from here to here in recent days, but they've chosen the better way, no doubt. But we understand that we know as we participate in this ourselves, as we take that tray, we are looking. We see in our mind's eye, we know the people who are around us. We can delight that we're not doing this alone. We have gathered. We have gathered to break the bread. And when we do that, we're participating in a bright chain of loving right, as one of our songs has it, going back to Troas here in the book of Acts. As we then, in this morning, as we obey, as we remember, as we proclaim Jesus, let us do as Reed let us, in song, let us tremble at what we're doing. The weightiness of this called out people doing the called out work. And as we do that, we can also remember from the language that we just sang that the verse from which the song came, he is high and lifted up. And then as we sang, he is exalted. And it is our honor and privilege to proclaim that, to join in the exaltation of Jesus, the one who was slain to give us life. As we do this now, let us then break bread together.